There's so much misinformation out there. You overpronate and you might need a stability shoe. If anyone's ever told you running's bad for your knees, slap them.
No offense to all the runners out there, but you're all pretty challenged.
Physical bent. Post run beer is one of the best beers you'll ever have.
You never feel shit after a run.
You'll get fit, you'll get strong, you'll get healthy.
Running is fucking awesome. Hi Mike, I'm Dutch. I work as a massage therapist.
My name's Pat. I'm a running coach, physio. I'm an avid runner myself. We thought we'd call the podcast That's Running.
Welcome back, Patty.
Thanks, Mike.
How are you, mate?
I'm good.
No, mate, you're broken.
I'm really good.
Yeah?
I'm broken, but I'm good. Good.
What did you do over the weekend? Tell us.
I had the speed project with the with Turbo Runners. So the speed project, which is supposed to be in America, from Santa Monica Pier in LA to Las Vegas, supposed to be a relay run between those two places. Obviously couldn't go ahead this year, so they, quote unquote, they decentralized it. So essentially it went virtual. So Turbo, who we've had on the podcast like a year and a half ago, so I joined in with the Turbo Runners team and we did the relay. So it was a 31-hour, 15-minute relay run, and the goal was just cumulative distance, getting as much as you could for your team. So a team of six, we swapped in and out, running constantly for 31 hours over the weekend, and we all missed two nights' worth of sleep. So it was fucked.
How far did the team run?
The team clocked, I think, 426 kilometres, the whole team, over 31 hours.
What's the actual distance from Santa Monica to...
I actually don't know the actual distance. Mm. They chose 31 hours, 15 minutes because that's the fastest it's been done.
Okay.
So they chose that as the time frame, then we had to run as much distance as we could. So I think our team ended up coming 16th in the comp, 16th in the OG teams, which means the proper format of four blokes and two girls doing it. Which is pretty cool. So we had a good result there. I clocked up just over 71 kilometres worth of my interval efforts.
At what pace? Average?
And the average pace was 3 minutes 43,
that's
I think.
Fucked.
3:43 pace for 71Ks.
So. That's fucked.
But with a weird amount of rest in between. Mm. You do an 11-minute effort and then you rest for 22 minutes, then do an 11-minute effort and then rest for 22 minutes. Do that on repeat for 4 hours. And then we'd have 3 hours to eat and sleep and stuff while the other team members ran. But yeah, it was a hell of an event. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. It was good fun.
I followed them on Instagram. It was it just looked fucked, but fun.
It was good. Mm-hmm. And you just really bury yourself in a deep hole. But in a team environment, it's cool because it's really difficult when it's 2 a.m. and you're cold and you're stiff. And you've already done 50Ks and it's your turn to get up and redline a 3 kilometre effort, it's really hard to do that. But in a team environment, you look at the people around you, you're like, all right, let's get this done.
Yeah,
it's really cool.
Cool.
That was two days ago and I'm pretty tired.
That extra time isn't well worth that we put today.
Yeah, it does.
Recovery. I was I just looked through our podcast and I think we never actually talked about a full episode of recovery.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're all pretty bad at it sometimes. What do you do for recovery, Pat?
Recovery for me is about, what do I do when I finish a run? When I finish a run, I try and drink something straight away within 5 minutes of stopping. Mm-hmm. So usually it's just water. But if I can get my hands on a Powerade or recovery drink or a precision hydration tablet, then I will. But just rehydrating, if it's been, if it's not a hot day, if I haven't sweated heaps or if it's just been a short run, I'll just have, a glass of water or two and I'll be okay. Mm. But something with a bit of sugar or salt in it, if it's been a longer run or if it's a hot day. So I drink straight away and I eat something too. I always try and eat within an hour.
Mm.
So, you usually finish your run, have a shower or whatever, and then eat something straight away. Even if you're not super hungry, I find that if I don't eat, then 2 hours later, I'll eat the whole house.
Yeah, you're a bit ravenous.
And I get grumpy. Mm. Basically, what they call rungry.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what I do pretty much straight after. I'm I guess you're about to speak on this. I'm not a huge fan of like heaps of stretching and foam rolling and stuff, but that's just me. I more prefer to just have something to eat, have something to drink, and then let my body just deal with what I've just done to it.
Cool.
What about you?
Pretty similar. Like, I'll drink something straight after, have something to eat in the first sort of hour or so, have a shower, just chill, stretch. Not really a thing.
Yeah.
Especially if it's a short run, easy run, like, don't even bother.
Yeah.
Just if it's been big, if it's been like a big, hard training run, if I have the time, I can, I'll have a nap.
Yeah.
A bit of a nap, just even if it's like half an hour or so. Just shut eye for half an hour and just reinvigorates me.
Yeah.
But definitely rehydrate, eat, shower.
Yeah.
And then just saying let the body do what the body does and recover.
Yeah, I guess it's interesting you say when you do just like an easy 5K or something, then there's no real need. You know, if you're trained to run 20 or 30 or 40 kilometers at a time, if you just do an easy 5K, there's probably no real need to recover because you haven't stressed your body. So that's probably semi-controversial and people might disagree there. But I don't think if you don't really extend yourself too much, then what are you recovering from?
Absolutely.
Yes, we're training our endurance system and we're putting a little bit of load through our legs, but it's definitely load that we can tolerate. I suppose recovery is more important when you have just done a really hard interval session or a race or a long run or something. That's when you need to recover as best as you can. So I think for me, it's definitely, definitely all about sleep and nutrition and hydration, kind of those three. If you are not sleeping well, then forget your compression garments, forget stretching, forget rolling, forget ice baths, forget everything. If you literally just sleep well, that's almost all of it.
Because like the recommendation is 6 to 8 hours a night.
Of sleep.
You know, sleep, which is normal. Like I've done some good research and 2 hours of stress equals 1 hour of sleep. So if you stress your body for 2 hours, and it can be physical, mental, emotional, financial, whatever, if you're awake and stressed, which you generally are, 2 hours equals 1 hour. So if you're awake for 16 hours, you sleep fine.
Yeah.
And that sort of helps to recover, not so much just the body, but also the nervous system.
Yeah.
And then
there is good stuff. Like, there's a lot of data on sleep for athletes.
Absolutely.
Like, a couple that I've filtered through is, and it's really interesting, if we sleep less than 8 hours a night, we're 1.7 times more likely to get injured. Which is crazy.
Yeah. Right?
Like, how many of us don't get 8 hours sleep per night?
I can't remember the last time I got 8 hours.
Yeah. So, like, don't waste time faffing about with all your recovery stuff. Just sleep.
Yeah.
So there's that. And then another study, and this was looking specifically at endurance athletes, they found if you average out your sleep over the last 2 weeks, and if you get less than 7 hours sleep on average for the last 2 weeks, you're 51% more likely to get a new injury. So that's not you blowing up this old Achilles you've had for 15 years. It's you getting a new different injury. If you just sleep less than 7 hours a night for 2 weeks, you're double your chances. It's like, it's crazy. It's like, when people talk about recovery, it's like, go to bed. Stop talking about recovery and just go to bed. That's probably the best thing.
It's not just repair of the body when you're sleeping, but it's also cognitive effects. When you don't sleep as well, you don't function as well cognitively, which then proves that you do get injured more likely because you're not 100% focused on what you do.
Yeah, exactly. And your nervous system. You need to like actually calm that down as well.
That's why I don't mind a cool down and stretch post-run.
Yep.
Because you're actually stopping, breathing slowly, and you're calming down your nervous system more than anything.
Exactly. And that's super important, is getting from your sympathetic nervous system into your parasympathetic nervous system. So a lot of people have probably heard of that like fight or flight response. Where, you know, if you come face to face with an animal in the bush that could potentially kill you,
you drop it.
So your body enters the sympathetic state, which means your pupils dilate so you can get more light in, your blood gets directed away from your internal organs and more to like your peripheral muscles. So your digestion will slow down, but your muscles are pumped full of blood, ready to run. So your heart rate goes up. All of these things, that's called your sympathetic nervous system. So when we train or when we exercise, we're in our sympathetic state. So all the blood's in your muscles instead of in your organs. But what you want to do for recovery is to get back into your parasympathetic state quickly. And you do that via slowing down, breathing, and just taking time, not by banging down a protein shake and getting in your car and sitting in traffic and texting people and calling and uploading Instagram. That's not calming down your nervous system. Yeah. But you know what does calm down your nervous system is probably stretching, foam rolling, taking a bit of time.
It's because you're taking time.
It's because you sit there and you breathe.
Yeah, exactly.
I actually quite like foam rolling and stretching for that reason, not because it
does anything to your muscles.
Yeah.
That's the main reason I love foam rolling and stretching, because you actually take your time, you sit, you breathe, and you're like, oh, I'm actually chilling out. Yeah. And that's good for the body.
Yeah.
And like that 6 or 8 hours is the recommendation, and then the 7 hour sort of accumulative is quite interesting. The thing is, as you do more, run harder, do harder sessions, train longer, which is super important. If you train hard, run longer and faster, and you do all the extra things, increase your sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Sleep an extra hour, an extra 2 hours,
yeah.
If you can.
Yeah.
Because it's not just you're stressing your body more,
mm-hmm.
you then to recover harder. Like if you work harder, recover harder.
Yeah. One of the things which it's very hard to isolate all this stuff, but one thing I did training for UTMB last year was I was sleeping like 9 hours a night. Like I'd do all my work, training and stuff, but I was in bed at 8:39, like every night, and I'd only get up when I had to.
Yeah.
So I think that's something that I actually attribute quite a lot to is I, you know, be able to get up for my runs in the morning and I'd jump out of bed full of energy because I'd had like 9 hours sleep. Obviously, I don't have kids and a family and I, you know, I have my job and I do what I want, but that was a big thing.
Yeah. And there's some good research on like what lack of sleep does to you.
Ooh, tell me.
Like you recover slower, so slower muscle recovery. It changes your mood. Like I know I get grumpy when I don't sleep enough. It increases the level of stress hormones in the body, which means you recover slower.
Yeah.
And then it increases your rate of perceived exertion. So exercise just feels harder.
Yeah.
Like who wants that?
Yeah.
I want exercise to feel harder. I want exercise to feel easier every time.
Yeah. And it actually, another thing it does, like lack of sleep, is it increases pain sensitivity.
Mm.
So if you're experiencing discomfort, that actually gets sensitized further. So basically injuries feel worse.
Yeah, that's just the worst.
So Mike, question.
Yes.
Compression garments. Go.
Feels nice. There's some research, I don't know how valid it is though, because I was paid for by the people that make compression garments, that they help with recovery. But if anything, it helps to reduce DOMS,
yeah.
which is nice.
Yeah.
They don't do anything for performance. It just feels nice.
Mm.
And I feel there's a bit of a placebo effect.
Yeah.
Which if you want to wear calf compression when you're running because it feels good on your calves, by all means go for it.
Mm-hmm.
But scientifically, besides it reduces DOMS, there's not much of much effect.
Yeah. I've stopped keeping up with the research on that sort of stuff because I'm just not too interested in it because I don't think there's much there. But one thing I probably changed my stance on is I fucking love placebos.
Oh, it's the best.
Like, I don't care if it's a placebo if it has a desired effect.
Exactly.
So, like, I wear compression if I know I'm going to be pretty static after a big effort. Like, a good example for me every year is I'll do the Canberra Marathon, which is, you know, a 2.5 hour drive from Sydney. So I know that if I've just run a marathon and I'm about to sit in a car for 2.5 hours, I will put long compression tights on. And I'm not sure that it's doing much, but there's a big placebo effect there. And I'll feel better after the long drive if I've been wearing skins.
Exactly. And that's fine.
Yeah.
It's like if it makes you feel better, do it, regardless of what the research says.
Yeah, yeah. And like my anecdotal evidence is I do feel better.
Yeah.
And sure.
Yeah, cool. You'll keep doing it, right?
Yeah.
I'm just saying. If I drive through the mountains for a big run, I'll definitely bring my long compression stuff just to wear it on the way back.
Yeah.
And I feel better for it.
Yeah. One thing which I am not a fan of, or am a fan of, but I'm not a fan of, but I am at the same time, is like alcohol after running is pro-inflammatory. Mm-hmm. So we talk about anti-inflammes, right? You want to get your body out of an inflammatory state.
Yes.
So that's why people take anti-inflammes for injuries and they generally feel a bit better. So alcohol is, whilst it's a painkiller, which can be good at times,
yeah.
alcohol is actually a bit more pro-inflammatory. So it's actually pretty silly to smash beers after a hard run.
Yeah.
Because you're actually making it harder for your body to recover. But, you know, there's a trade-off. You know?
There always is.
Make your own mind up on that. So I know I love a couple of beers after a run.
Oh, it's just good for the mental health, right? Sort of.
Oh, depends. For some people, yes. For some people, no.
Depends on how many you drink as well.
And the other thing is, like, just other stressors in your life.
Mm.
Like, if you go for a run and come home and there's screaming kids there, good luck being in a relaxed parasympathetic state where your body can recover.
Yeah.
And if there's financial stress, if you hate your job, if you're having relationship dramas, like all of these other stressors do have an impact on you, on your body, and your ability to like calm down and put your body in a regenerative like healing state. So these are things that we can't ignore as well. And quite often I'll have patients come into the clinic and they just got this knee pain, and yes, they've got knee pain, but they've also got a cold, and you know, mum's going through cancer treatment, and you know, kids in trouble at school, but they've got knee pain. I'm like, cool, how bad's your knee pain right now? You're sick, you've got a cold, you know, all these other things are going on. And like quite often if you can sort that stuff out, some of it would be in your control, some of it wouldn't be, but if you can sort that stuff out or at least acknowledge the role that it plays, then it allows us to like understand what's going on in your body a bit better. So yeah, it's a bit harder to recover if you're in a stressed state, in a stressed environment for sure. So I don't know, to that extent, you know, perhaps like, you know, meditation might actually help recover.
Yeah, definitely. Again, people that commute to work, same thing. To take an extra 5 to 10 minutes so you're not race to work, shower, beat your desk, you know.
Cool. That's a good point,
actually. You're stressing again.
Just give yourself that 10 minutes of time to just like breathe.
Yeah, just to calm down. And like those are all easy sort of strategies you can implement. And the other thing is listen to your body. Like I'm more than once I've had just felt tight and sore and tired and was supposed to do a hard run and then start and it's like, oh, I can't. Then don't. Sometimes you just need to just pull the pin and go, I'm just going to make an easy run.
Yeah.
Just do an easy whatever.
Yeah.
And not do a hard interval session that day because if you're not feeling it, you're not feeling it.
Yeah.
Or maybe just pull the pin and go home and rest for that day.
Yeah.
Try again tomorrow. I think there's a lot of value in just listening to your body and accepting that today is not that.
Yeah, and that's completely fine. I think I wish more people did that. And that's probably my one gripe with like training programs is people stick to them too rigidly.
Yeah.
Like you need the flexibility to choose not to train that day. So yeah, I mean, like, I guess that's me on recovery. What else?
Recovery runs. What do you think?
Oh my God. If you're going to do a recovery run, it's not going to be 14 Ks at 4 minute pace. Some people on Strava. I think it's kind of like an oxymoron going for a recovery run. Like a walk, sure, makes sense as recovery. Because we know that just gently moving things is always a good option. But if you're trying to recover from repeated impact on the ground, don't go and do more repeated impact on the ground. It just actually doesn't make sense. Sure, you can have easy runs. Great. Love an easy run. But to go for a recovery run, I just physiologically don't see it. That might be a short sight on my end. But to me, recovery is
like
get in the ocean, put some hydrostatic pressure from the water through your legs, have a salt bath, like meditate, go for a walk. Like
jump on the bike even.
Yeah, just like get the legs gently moving. Yeah. That's recovery for me. So like recovery runs, like just call it an easy run.
I very much agree with you there. I think it's just named poorly.
Yeah.
Because I think if you're doing 4 or 5 runs a week, one of them just needs to be an easy run.
Yeah.
/ recovery run, whatever you want to call it.
Mm.
That's when you can add volume without adding too much stress.
Mm.
You can like work on your aerobic capacity. You can work on technique stuff. You can go, oh, I'm going to play with my cadence here. Or I'm going to, oh, I know I've got this thing I need to work on.
Or you can just look at the trees.
You can practice mindful running.
Yeah.
And just enjoy that run for what it is.
Yeah.
Even leave your watch at home. Oh, my God. Don't put it on Strava. But it's so important to do those sort of runs.
Yeah.
Just easy,
mm-hmm.
and recover run is just a poor word for it, I think.
Yeah.
Because you're not actually recovering because you're still pounding the paper.
Yeah, I agree. I think if we just renamed it easy run and recovery was a different entity,
mm.
it actually makes a bit more sense. And the other thing that's probably worth mentioning is like ice, heat, that kind of thing. I think where we're at the moment, just as an industry, as a whatever, with ice, is ice doesn't necessarily work the way we think it works for reducing inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
What ice does is it effectively it numbs the area that you put the ice on. So if you numb something, it will hurt less because you can't feel it. So I think ice is fine in an acute injury. If you're in so much pain that you're sitting there and something is throbbing and throbbing and it's so uncomfortable, put ice on it because it will hurt less.
Yeah.
But it's not like icing a little niggle will kind of make it more, will make it less inflamed or anything. It will reduce pain short term whilst it's numb. So like that's when things like ice are useful. Ice baths, however, a bit of a different story.
Mm.
If you can get in water that's colder than 16 degrees Celsius, it has a really positive effect on DOMS, delayed onset muscle soreness. So that's good. In terms of heat, I don't know. What are you thinking about heat?
It feels good. Huh?
Yeah.
If anything, for some more chronic injuries, I prefer heat over ice.
Yeah.
Because generally ice also restricts blood flow.
Yeah.
And we know blood is good.
Yeah.
Inside the body, not outside the body. So if anything, heat tends to feel nice as well.
Yeah.
So pick heat over ice when it comes to those sort of more chronic injuries.
Yeah.
It will not reduce any pain.
Yeah.
But it will just feel nice, increase the blood flow a bit, which will help aid the process.
Yeah. For sure.
From a recovery point of view, meh.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then I think the last thing is give yourself time to recover. Literally give yourself time.
Yeah.
Don't do a hard session on Tuesday night and then a hard session on Wednesday morning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there's not enough time,
yeah.
literally. Physically, yeah. not enough time to recover.
Yeah.
I think
there's some pretty strong evidence that tendons take up to 72 hours after loading to fully, you know, for the micro damage to occur, for the repairing to take place, for them to get stronger again, mm. and for your body to adapt inside of a tendon takes up to 72 hours.
I think muscles is about 36 hours.
Yep. Yeah. So it's actually, I'm glad you mentioned that, Mike, because if you train hard every day or twice a day, you're not getting the gains and adaptations that you would get if you actually recovered.
Mm.
So like you can overdo it quite easily. I know people, when they feel good, they're like, oh, cool, I'll do an interval run today and then another run tomorrow and then a run the day after. It's like at some point you just need to stop and rest and actually let your body adapt to the stress that you've placed. And I know that's when you actually train better and you get reap the rewards of the training you're doing.
Yeah.
Sometimes people train too hard and they're trying to get fit, but it's like, dude, you actually need to like recover and let your body adapt to
what you're putting. Rest is part of training.
100%.
If you're training hard, rest hard.
Yeah.
Super important.
Yeah.
Like I wish we'd be able to just train the morning hard, have a nap, have some food, get a massage, jump in a bath, training at night, have 10 hours of sleep, repeat.
Yeah.
Beautiful. But yeah, life.
But life, yeah.
Let us know what you do. If you have any like weird little things that you do that you go, oh yeah, this really works for me.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to hear that.
Yeah. I think so. But again, I'm a bit, what's the word?
Weird.
I'm weird, but I think I'm a bit skeptical, might not be the right word. I know a lot of fads out there. I'm like, fuck, just sleep and eat well and you'll probably be fine.
Sleep, eat well, listen to your body.
Yeah. Boom.